good audience this morning. I'm glad you're here. I want to read to you from just for a moment here, from Mark the 14th chapter. After the Lord had instituted the Lord's Supper, went out to the Mount of Olives. It says there in verse 34, Mark 14, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith to Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. You know, oftentimes in prayer, I give thanks 3 times a day, 7 days a week for meals. And sometimes I think, well, how can I change? How to pray a little different. You do that? And when you pray, pray a little different. Notice here, he spake the same words. I was talking to us Thursday. We have 4 great-grandchildren, Ryan and Reagan. They were there at lunch. Son-in-law Rodney asked me to give thanks for the food. I gave thanks and I prayed for Ryan and Reagan as I usually do. That evening late, we sat down to eat again and Rodney asked me again to give thanks. And just kind of run through my mind, well, they were a little different. And I did. When I got through the little 4-year-old Ryan, Mike over there walked over gently to me and said, You didn't pray for us. You didn't pray for us. Folks, I'll tell you, that hit me hard. And yet I rejoice to thank the little one, 4 years old, who noticed something like that, listened, and so forth. You know, we have that opportunity this morning to pray. And well, no doubt, pray things we prayed before. But there's much in prayer. So at this time, let's pray.
It's good to be here, isn't it? So good to see each one of you. You know, I'm thankful for the children and young people in this congregation. We've got some good children, some good young people. Thankful for the others, everyone in the congregation. We want you to know we love you and love you very much because you're children of God. You have the same spiritual father that I have, and that makes me love you and makes you love me. Some 57 years ago today, I began preaching full-time, Midland, Texas. I'd moved on Friday after Thanksgiving, started preaching full time at that time. So this is kind of a special day to me, and I hadn't thought about that really this morning. I was talking to somebody back there, and it just hit me that that was true. So it's good to be your speaker this morning. I trust that what we have to say will be edifying to you. I've always, in those 57 years, I've never got up in the pulpit and felt like I could just say anything. I've heard people say, oh, go down and talk for them. You can just say anything. They don't know anything. I've never felt that way, and I don't feel that way this morning. I feel a deep obligation, not only in the pulpit, but everywhere else, when I talk to people that I teach them the Word of God and teach it in its purity and simplicity. We've got these scriptures up here. It's a little lengthy reading, a little more what I usually do, but I want to go over them. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, as we read these scriptures, Matthew 16, 13 through 24, you pick out what you feel like is the most important word. Pick out what you think is most important. There's going to be several there. So let's start. When Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood are not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus showing his disciples how that he must go in unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him, and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou sourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus' disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Aren't those wonderful words there that Jesus spoke here at this time? Now, what is the most important word in the scriptures to you? Well, let's just look at a few here. Well, is it Christ? Well, certainly Christ is important. And certainly Christ, no doubt, is very important. Find John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." There we know that if it was not Christ, we cannot have forgiveness of sins. We cannot have eternal life. So that's very important. And he died for us. Well, let's notice again in John 17th chapter, verse 28. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Certainly Christ is very important. In fact, right now, if it was not for Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, I could not even be talking. I could not even be breathing. I would not be even being in existence. And certainly that's very important to me that I have him as my Father. Well, let's notice again in Matthew, the 18th chapter and verse 11. "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Now, man was born in a perfect condition, a perfect man. But man sinned and he was lost. Man cannot save himself. He did not have the power to save himself. It was impossible for man to save himself. But Jesus Christ came to save that which was lost. Well, let's notice again in Ephesians 2nd chapter and verses 12 and 13. "That at that time ye were without Christ," speaking here to the Gentiles, "being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope," and strangers here are having no hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Why, certainly Christ is important, and that's an important subject, important word, because if it were not for him, we would be in that lost condition. We cannot save ourselves. He's provided that way, not only for me, but for all mankind. Well, let's notice again, Hebrews the 9th chapter and verse 22. The scripture says there, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Isn't that something? If Christ did not shed his blood, there would be no remission of sin. And certainly that is an important word there, just the very word of Jesus Christ. Well, let's notice on just a little further. Well, is the most important word to us in the scriptures there? Is it the church? Is it the church? Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, they were added to them about 3,000 souls. Now, remember that the church had not been established. Christ had promised, upon this rock, I will build my church. And now we find that on the day of Pentecost, all this multitude had gathered, several thousand people there. And Peter preached that first gospel sermon. And we find there that the scripture says in Acts the 2nd chapter and verse 41, and then that they that gladly received word were baptized, and the same day there were adding them about 3,000 souls. Now, the church has been in existence ever since then. People ever since then have been added to the church. Then in verse 47, he said, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I feel like I have people say, well, what about the churches in dark ages? What about when the Roman Catholics, they tried to destroy the church and everything? I want you to know I believe in the depths of my heart from this very day that we're talking about right here. I believe there's been people in the church, and the church has been in existence all of those years, and that's very important. I want you to know the church is a very important institution. Let's turn to Acts 5:14 and notice, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Now, when they were added to the Lord, they were added to the church. And get it now, the church is a divine institution, it's a glorious institution, and it's a great institution. So it's pointed out to us that the church is very great. Let's notice again in Acts 11:24, for he was a good man. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Talking about Barnabas, he was a good man, and yet there were many people that were added unto the Lord. So the church is very important. Let me show you how important it is. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. How important is church? He's the Savior of it. What is the body? What is the body? Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church. What's he the Savior of? The church. Who's in the church? Those that have been added to it by the Lord. Those that have obeyed the gospel. And so he is the head of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn of death, that is in all things he might have the preeminence. That's a very important word to us. That's very important. But is that the most important? Is Christ the most important? Was the body, the church, the most important? They're very important. And I don't want to take from that. But let's notice now. The most important word to us is a two-letter word, if. Think about that. That refers to me. That refers to you. Notice what verse 24 said.
If then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's a big if right there. How many of us this morning are doing that right there? We're taking up his cross. We're denying ourselves. And we're following him. If we are, we're following him. How many of us are willing to do that? To take up that cross? What are you willing to give up for self? What are you willing to deny this body? The desires of this body, the pleasures of this body, all those things, what are we willing to give up for it? For the souls and for the Lord and so forth. And I want you to know that's very important. And people so many times, they won't deny themselves. Things will come up and we won't deny ourselves that. And we're going to look into that in just a moment. Now let's notice in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, that old creature, that old man, are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. They are new. Brethren, that's very important. That old nature, that old self, that it's passed away. And behold, we have that new self, that new nature. All right? Let's turn again to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Take no thought for it, he says. Take no thought for your life. I remember down through the Depression years, when it was hard to have food, clothing, and shelter. This was a very important scripture. But as I look back over those many years, lived through it, I never remember not having something to eat. I never remember not having something. Many times it wasn't T-bone steaks. It wasn't even hamburgers. Oh, how I'd love to have a hamburger sometimes. Cost a nickel. Didn't have that. But yet I had something to eat. Yet I had something to eat. And I want you to know. That's why I said, take no thought. I'll furnish. It was always there. If you come to that time, he said, take no thought for that. If's a big important word there. And here's what he said now. He said, take no thought. Don't take any thought there. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let's notice in verse 33 what he says there. But ye seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What shall be added unto you? Food, clothing, and shelter. What does he say to? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How many of us seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? I'd like to make some observations right here. In these scriptures, he's pointed out the lilies of the field. He's pointed out different things here. And he tells them, said, God takes care of them. God takes care of them. And said, now, why do you take thought? In verse 31, he said, take no thought. What shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? Don't take any thought for that. But do what? Seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. I mentioned that several years ago I moved to Midland, Texas. Along the next year, a brother in the church, he missed services Sunday morning. We didn't meet till about 7:30 back in those days on Sunday night, 8 o'clock, summertime. I went out to his house that evening. I looked out there, and there it was, harvested his crop. You know what he told me? He said, well, said I felt like I need to harvest my crop today. I was afraid it might rain, afraid something might happen, and I might lose it. Whoop. Whoop. Wait a minute. What? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? What was most important? That's when he said, if. There's where that if come in. If you had faith, you'd have went right on church. If it began to rain, you just said, let her pour. Because that's God's will. How many times have we been afraid we're going to lose something and we miss church or neglect our duties to the Lord to do that? You know what he told us to do? He said, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that don't mean just when you wanted to either. Yes, sir. How many times have you missed a service at church? I'm talking about Sunday morning and then also Sunday night and Wednesday night because you were afraid you were going to lose something or you were afraid if you didn't, you wouldn't get something. How many times have you done that? It's hitting pretty hard, isn't it? And I'll tell you what, it hit this old boy right here pretty hard, too. Yes, sir. Seek ye first. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, how many times have you denied your family? Yes, sir. Folks, I want to tell you something. I'm 85 years old. I've got two daughters. We've got four grandchildren. We've got four great-grandchildren. And there's times that Francis and I have to deny being with them to be at church. We have to deny certain things in order that we can serve the Lord. But I want to tell you something. The church comes first, and I want you to know I love them dearly, but I trust I love the Lord more. I've had people over the years tell me, well, we started a church and company come in, so we just didn't get to go. If company comes into my house on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, or during a gospel meeting, or any time, I will politely and kindly tell them, I'd like to have you go to church with me. No, we can't go. Well, just make yourself at home and we'll be back. You just be here. Well, we can't do that. Well, we'll see you some other time. Now, it may sound hard, but folks, that's just the way it's got to be. And Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. No, that's not easy. That's not easy. No, sir. There's where that if comes in. I want you to know that's a lot bigger word than we want to take it for. So it's a very important word. And he tells us, take no thought for the morrow. Verse 34 says, for the morrow shall take thought for things itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Isn't that wonderful? That we can have our Savior and we know that we do have him. Well, let's go to Luke the 14th chapter. Then saith he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said to him, well, I bought a piece of ground over here. I've got a piece of ground over here. I've got to go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Oh, I got to go see about them. Another said, I married a wife. And therefore, I cannot come. You ever made those excuses? You ever use the excuse? I bought some land. I bought a piece of ground. Back in those days in Midland, Texas, a man and woman lived there, and his main leaders in the church there. Fine people. Fine people. In fact, they're the ones, I give them credit more than anybody, getting me to preach full time. Held a meeting there at Odessa. They lived at Midland. I baptized 5 and had 15 confession falls. Second meeting I'd ever held in my life. And both congregations, won't you move out of here? I hadn't even thought about preaching full time. And I went out there. But they went up in Colorado. He had some land up there wanted to sell. He could sell. Went up there. I bought a piece of ground. I've got to go see it. They come back. Said, Brother Morris said, we were in Colorado Sunday and said, I was in the motel room. I was making the bread so we could have the Lord's Supper. And said, they come and got my husband. And he left. It's about early in the morning to go and check the land. And said he didn't get back till after dark. And said, we didn't get to have the Lord's Supper. Said, what about it? I said, I'm not concerned about you not having the Lord's Supper in that motel room. I'm not at all concerned about that. She looked at me, it's funny. I said, what I'm concerned is that you put that ahead of being at the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And brother, I was really concerned about that. That old almighty dollar's not all there is, folks. You may give up everything you've got. And I'll tell you one thing. Right now, if it took for me to give up everything I've got to go to heaven, I'd be willing right now. It might be taken away from me this very minute. Yes, sir. I want you to think about that, folks. I've had that happen to me lots of times over the years. Oh, people say, oh, they come by. We hadn't seen them in years. We didn't want to hurt their feelings. We didn't want to betray them. We didn't want to let them down. What about your Lord? What about God? Did you want to betray him? Did we want to let him down? If it hadn't been for that, I could have gone to church. If it hadn't been for them coming there and looking at the land, we could have had our communion, so to speak. If. Brother, that's a great word, isn't it? And I'll tell you what, that's far more important word than Christ and church just to me individually. They're of utmost importance, but this is it. If I put Christ first, if I put the church first, if I love Christ and the church more than I do other things, and that's exactly what he told us to do that. And now he said, I married a wife and I cannot come. Now here's a question. What's going to happen to these people? Let's notice verse 24. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Woo! Doesn't that hurt? Doesn't that just cut real deep? Won't taste of my supper. Won't taste of my supper. Notice verse 26. Do I have that down? I didn't put that one down. Let me turn over and read verse 26. That's right. I wrote this down since I talked to Nathan the other night. I thought of his name.
Verse 26 of Luke 14. Notice what the scripture says there now. Here's what it says. Verse 25. And there went out great multitudes of him, and he turned and said to them, if any man come to me and hate, what? And hate not his father and mother and wife and children, brethren, sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You mean I've got to hate my father, mother, and so forth? Not in the sense we use it today. I want you to know, I'm to honor my father and mother. I'm to love my wife as my own body. So it can't mean that. What does it mean? It means to love less. We were together as a family Thursday. Francis and I dearly love our family. We love our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I'll tell you what. We love this family here and God in Christ above that. If they'd had that get-together today, we would not have been there. We would have been right here. That's what it's talking about, love less. Yes, we can love those saints. And don't you misunderstand it. And children, we want you to know we love you. And that's the reason we love you. Because God and Christ love you, the Holy Spirit loves you, and therefore we are bound also that we might love you. Now, if I do, how many times have you put family above church? How many times have you? Just stop and think. I'll think in my own life. Several years ago, I had an appointment at 21st Street for a weekend meeting. And they wanted me to preach on, I think it was eldership, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, and Sunday. It's been several years ago. In fact, I lived at Waco, so it was back in the 50s. At that time, I had two sisters and eight brothers. They wanted to have a family reunion. Some of them hadn't seen in a while. And so my sister, she went to church where I do, One Cup and so forth, told me. And I said, I can't go that. I can't be here that Sunday. I've got a weekend meeting in Oklahoma City, 21st Street. She told my brother, one of them, that I couldn't be there. Bless his heart. He said, tell Edwin, if he'll stay and be here, every what they'd pay him for up there and the expenses, you tell him that I'll pay him for it. I'll give him that amount of money if he'll just be here. It didn't take me 2 seconds. I didn't even have to think about it. I said, no, tell him no thank you. I can't be here. That's it. Was I going to put that above that? We had it the next Sunday. I could be there the next Sunday. See, what would you have done? I'll tell you, folks, when there's 11 of them, it's hard to get them all together. All their families. What would you do? If. Yes, sir. That's where it was. Well, folks, I've got a hard one coming up. Let's go, Nathan. Uh-oh. Judging yourselves, is it calmly that a man praying to God uncovered Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him?
What? If a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. Back in the 60s, oh, they got that new fad. All these people, young and a lot of old and so forth, they begin to let that hair grow. Oh, yeah. They just let it grow. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody asked me what I thought about it. That's what I think about it. It's not what I think. It's what the Bible said. If a man have long hair, what is it? It's a shame to him. It's a disgrace. And I'm afraid sometimes some men, I don't see any in the church very much, but they want to just let it grow, you know. They want to kind of get down just as, you know, just as far as can without it appearing, you know how it is. No, I'll tell you what. Mine may not look too pretty and so forth. God gave it to me. But I'll tell you what. I'm going to keep it cut. Yes, sir. Why? If I let it grow, it's a shame. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If I told you right now, I'll never cut my hair again, I'll never do it, I sin right then. I sin right then. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, what is it? A glory to her, for hair is given her for a covering. What? If? All people say, oh, it says if. You know, like we use words sometimes, oh, if so and so. No, it's not that. Well, it's actually saying, but if woman have long hair, it is glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if, for since woman has long hair, it's her glory, for hair is given her for a covering. That's it. Now I want to ask you a question. I've had people say, it's up to the woman. It's up to the individual. Okay. I've really got a problem. I have really got a problem with that. What if this morning, if Frances, Bernice, Denise, every woman come in here, her head shaved, what would you say? What would you say? What if a year from now, all of us men come in here and we hadn't got a haircut in the last year and our hair was hanging way down and all the women come in head shaved? What would you say? Ooh, that's a shame. What does verse 6 say? We got verse 6 on there. For if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn, that is, have her hair cut, or shaven, no difference, let her be covered. Isn't that if a big word? Yes, sir, if. Or someone says, well, I just cut off the dead ends. No, as Fred Kerbo used to say, dead ends, that's hair. I want you to know that's hair. And I have women to tell me, oh, said, I let my hair grow and I cut it off so it'll grow. The hair grows from up here. It grows from back here in the head. That's where it grows. Now, folks, I didn't write this. If you want to argue this, go right ahead. I'll sit and listen to you all day long and try to prove it's wrong. But that's just what I want you to know this. A woman is to have what the man is not to have, and the man is to have what the woman is to have.
not to have. In other words, they're to have opposites. And how can I tell her when she's got to stop? I want to ask you something. A woman here this morning, we've got some that, and young women too, and I'm so proud of them. I don't suppose her hair has ever been cut. But I'll challenge you. You tell them you can cut off an inch. Another inch. I challenge you to tell me scripturally when she's got to stop till she shaved her head. I challenge you to tell me with scripture where it says it. If she can just cut off that, you tell her when she got chopped. I challenge you to tell me. And I'll tell you what, if you disagree with this, you owe it to me to come talk to me about it. I don't want to be wrong. If. And people want to use that so much. Now, don't misunderstand me. Peter, church, gospel, Christ, all those things talked about very important. But to you and I, no doubt, the most important word in our personal lives is that if. We want to make ways, don't we? If we would study the Bible, follow me closely, to learn and put into practice rather than study the Bible to try to justify something we want to do, we'd be a lot better off. But don't most people study the Bible to try to justify something they want to do, try to defend something they want to do, instead of saying, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth, and do it when it's said. Still love you. And that's the reason I preach this. I love you. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to know, Jesus said, many call, few chosen. People say, oh, you're so small. I don't base the scripture of this on being small, but I do base it on the Word of God. And I want to tell you something. You listening? The closer you get to the Word of God, the less friends you're going to have, and the lowest. Closer we get to the Lord, the smaller crowds we're going to have, because people want to go where they can hear what they want. I had so many people. We've had people visit here, and they'd tell me, well, we're just visiting around, and when we find the church we like, that's where we're going to go. And I tell them, well, I advise you, you find the one that you find about in the Bible, the one you read about there, you find that one. And you go to that one. That's my advice. God bless you. I'm so thankful that I've lived this long that I could preach this sermon this morning. Lord willing, I'll preach another. If I don't, I hope to meet you. Up God. If you're here this morning, I know there's those here this morning that need to make things right. And I don't say that judging. If you've never been baptized, I know you're lost, because you've got to be baptized for remission of sins. If you're not in the church, I know you're going to be lost, because he's only promised to save those in the church. That's the reason I'm interested in you. I want you to be baptized, not because I want you to, because God, Christ, Holy Spirit wants you to. Why don't you do that this morning? Oh, you've thought about it. Oh, I am sometime. I'm not going to wait too late. There's many people that will spend eternity in hell for that very statement. Why don't you come this morning? You've heard the word. Believed it. Repent. Make a change. Just come before this audience. I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. Don't be afraid to say it. And then I'll take that confession. One of the brethren does a baptizing for me. I have a couple that do it. They'll baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, for remission of sins. You can rise to walk in newness of life. And you can leave this place and never worry again. Just remain faithful in death, and you can have eternal life. Why don't you do that this morning? Maybe you haven't been as faithful to the Lord as you should. Maybe at times you've put other things in the way. Things of private nature, go to God and ask forgiveness. If It's been against the church. The church knows about it. Want us to make it right. Just say, well, I was wrong. I sinned. Make that right. We'll pray with you, and we'll pray for you. While we stand, while we sing, why don't you come?